listeners, my name is Arusha Veed, and you're listening to the Slice of Orange, North Orange County podcast. Slice of Orange is a podcast that dissects politics in North Orange County. This election season, our team will interview candidates on NOC's ballot, explain propositions and ballot measures, and discuss general election trends. Our goal is to increase civic knowledge in the public and introduce you to ways of getting involved. My name is Arusha Veed, and I am your host for the day. Today, I'm interviewing Matt Truxaw, a Fullertonian who is now stepping into local politics. He is running for election to the Fullerton City Council in District 1. Voters will be choosing between him and Fred Jung. Thank you, Matt, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, your personal story and professional bio that has led you to run for this office.
Okay. I had sort of put something together for what I wanted to say, a little bit about my family's history going back over 100 years in Fullerton and my personal history with Fullerton. But then this morning I woke up and I realized it was September 11th. And I thought back of 23 years ago. Anyone who's old enough remembers that day, I'm sure, of the horrible things that happened on 9/11. And the thing that really sort of resonated with me, there was the fires going on around Southern California. And then I started thinking about 9/11. And the part that I wanted to talk about was really the first responders, you know, the firefighters, the police, the EMTs and things who ran into those burning buildings. And the people in the building, some of whom maybe could have made it out, but stayed to help others. And they didn't run in and ask, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? They didn't ask, are you a Christian? Are you a Hindu? Are you a Muslim? Are you a Jew? Are you an atheist? They just went in to help. And a lot of them didn't make it out, but they did the right thing, even though it was hard. I'm sorry, I'm emotional about this. And that's kind of the thing I want to bring to Fullerton. I want to represent everyone. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you vote for Fred or you vote for me. I don't care if you donated to Fred or you didn't donate to me. I'm going to be here for everyone in Fullerton. And I think I want to somehow get beyond some of this partisan bickering and disrespect for people just because they have a differing opinion. I know I'll have differing opinions with probably everybody. I am my own man, and I will piss off people on the left sometimes. I will piss off people on the right sometimes, but I will always be working towards what's best for Fullerton. So I can go a little bit further, you know, some of my history, just so you're aware. My grandparents moved into Fullerton in, I think it was 1920, when most of the streets weren't paved. Not that they're all that much better paved today. But my mom was born in Fullerton. I was born in St. Jude. I raised my kid in Fullerton, sent him through first grade through high school. I graduated from Cal State Fullerton with a degree in economics. And so Fullerton is important to me. And again, I want to get away from us versus them mentality and just have it, you know, it's all us. Anyway, I think that's pretty much my spiel for now. And hopefully we'll get into some other stuff. We can move on to some of your questions.
Understood. Thank you for that. So if you win this election and you gain a seat on the Fullerton City Council, what would be your top three priorities?
There's some of the obvious things, like, you know, trying to get our roads in better shape and that type of thing. But really, I think my overall top priority is to be a voice of everyone in Fullerton. I think some of the current people on the council have a tendency to listen to what their big donors have said and how that they can set themselves up personally for political gain, as opposed to what's really necessarily the best thing for the people of Fullerton. What is it? One example is the whole walk on Wilshire, where there was overwhelming support for it. and a few people on the committee, probably because of things their donors have requested of them, have tried to kill it. So I want to get to focusing on what the people want and then take that and put into what's really possible. So look at things like, what's our budget? What can we afford? Based on that, what are the top priorities that we can push in? I can't tell you exactly 1, 2, 3 what those priorities are right now. One of the things I've been in business managing, you know, from working my way up from just a peon up to a director level. And one of the things I've always found is when you want to find out how to fix a problem, or if you just want to find out what the problems are, you need to go to the people actually doing the work. So one of my top priorities will be to learn about the different areas, go talk to the different groups over the different departments, and then take it down a level and work to go talk to some of the people working in those departments. And then also to talk to our citizens, our residents, and say, what are the things that you need? And then bring those things back together, mesh it with what's available in the budget and whatnot, and come out with what really are the things we can do and must do. So I don't have a top three list other than those things, understanding better and driving and finding out what those things are, and then moving forward.
Understood. Thank you for that. So next, I want to move into a few specific city council questions. The first of which is that many Fullertonians, they lack faith and trust in our police as a result of killings that have happened, from Kelly Thomas's murder 13 years ago to Alejandro Campos Rios's murder just this year. Do you have faith in the current police chief's ability to change the culture and policy of that department? And if and when you're elected, how would you proceed with this kind of a dilemma, right? Not all of our communities feel safe with the police. How would you proceed with that?
Okay. And, you know, going back a little bit to just the whole 9/11 inspiration, I think those jobs, police, firefighter, and some of those things are really hard jobs. And I have a lot of respect for anyone who's willing to step up and do those jobs. It's not easy. But having said that, I don't think police should be warriors. I think police should be peace officers. So some of the things with the problems, Kelly Thomas, who had mental health issues and things, I think we need to look at different ways to solve those types of issues. I know there has been some additional training and things going in, but I think we really need to emphasize getting our police officers trained on ways to de-escalate situations, especially around mental health crises, but around any of those types of encounters. Violence first is not the right way to go. It should be a very last resort. So getting additional training on how to de-escalate situations is very important. I think I'd also like, again, have to have budget and all that, but to get non-police personnel with psychological type training who can help with some of those things. So maybe instead of, or at least with an armed police officer, you have an unarmed mental health counselor who can help talk people off the ledge rather than beat them off the ledge. So I know I talked a little bit with John, right, or with the police chief at one of these meetings, and I think he's trying to do some of those types of things. I don't know if we're doing them fast enough. I don't know him personally well enough to say whether or not we're headed. I think we're headed in the right direction. I think we probably need to push to head that direction a little quicker. So I think that's my take.
Understood. Thank you. So another issue that has been coming up in recent years is that of city government budgets and also pay of city employees. And one of the bigger issues with that is also pensions, because pensions are a huge obligation for city government budgets, and many cities have outsourced their staff and services for that reason. So what is your position on that trend? And do you think there are cost savings in outsourcing city employee pensions?
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't looked into this area in a great depth. I do think if you've made a commitment to someone, you need to meet that commitment. And so to the extent we already have commitments to meet those pensions, we need to find a way to do that. I know it's expensive, but you can't tell people you're going to get do one thing and then just flip on them. As far as outsourcing, that I think we need to take on a case-by-case basis. I was in the business world for a long time, and there were certain things where, as a company, we did parts of things really well, and we really wanted our people on those all the time. And then there's other things that were more commodity-type capabilities that were you could outsource, and someone else could do those better than your people could, because your people are focusing on things that were important to the company itself. And I think there's going to be some of those opportunities, and I don't know what they are yet, where there's the things that are important to Fullerton, as Fullerton, where we need our people there, where we have hands-on control and can talk to them right away. And then there's some things like maybe IT services and things where someone else may be able to do that job for us better, faster, cheaper. So I don't have a set yes or no on any one of these. I think sometimes outsourcing makes sense, but you don't want to give control of those core things to the city away to somebody outside.
So then my next question is about an issue that has come up recently in city council regarding the pedestrianized area, the Walk on Wilshire, which was created for COVID. So people could safely dine on outdoors on the street instead of being indoors. But now that contract is coming to an end, the city is considering turning that back into a street for cars. And a group named Save Walk on Wilshire has formed so that this area can be saved and so that they can advocate for more open space and pedestrianized areas in the city. So are you in favor of expanding open space in the city? And what are your thoughts specifically on pedestrianized areas like downtown Fullerton? Oh, I'm sorry, like Walk on Wilshire. And
Okay. So my wife and I do a decent amount of traveling around. And like, if you've been to Santa Barbara, you probably are familiar with their State Street Promenade, where they took several blocks of the main downtown part of their cities, one of their main roads of State Street, and turned it into pedestrian walkway. And it's energized the whole community. The people are coming in. It's a place for tourists and citizens to come and you know, eat and shop in the shops around there. You know, it's helped them. If you go up to Seattle, they have the Pike's Place Market. Sorry about that. And that's another area. It's become a tourist destination. It brings in more business. It brings in more revenue, brings in more tax bases to the city. Boise has done a similar thing. And I think there's an 8th Street Promenade, several blocks. I think these areas are very important to help energize downtown. And I strongly support the Walk on Wilshire. In fact, I think we should be improving it some. My one complaint with the Walk on Wilshire is it's a little drab. I'd like to get it, you know, a little bit more of a park-like atmosphere, maybe planters or something, so it's a little easier just to sit and relax there. And then I think we should be looking for more of those opportunities, whether that's expanding the current Walk on Wilshire's footprint a bit, or looking to other areas in and around the community where there's places where we can create a space for people to come together. And that also helps drive people coming from out of town. They have a place to come and it's a draw. And then they wander around and they go to the coffee shop around the corner or the candle shop up the street and spend some money. That helps our local businesses. It helps our tax bases. So I'm a big proponent, and I do not understand why a few of the members, including my opponent Fred, are looking to spend additional money to take out something that's such a positive thing that is overwhelmingly supported by the people of Fullerton. So it doesn't make sense.
Okay, so moving on kind of back to my previous question, which was more relating to city staff. Our city is currently understaffed, and there are a variety of reasons for this, but what are you in favor of increasing our city staff? Why or why not? And to kind of add on to that, you know, Fullerton is kind of infamous for the low pay, the low pay of city employees, teachers, and other workers as well. So do you think there is affordability in that pay, in just the general living costs in homes? And if not, then how would you go about addressing this issue when you are on the council?
One thing that my opponent has done, Fred, did renegotiate some contracts and did increase some of the pay for the Fullerton city employees, you know, and the police and fire and things. So I think that was a good thing. And I think it allowed us to keep more of our people rather than going out of town to get similar jobs. So I have to give them some kudos for that. As far as increasing staff, I think, again, we have to look at it. I know there are certain areas where we're understaffed and we need to fill in those holes. I don't know exactly what all of them are, but I do think there's also opportunities to look for ways to become more effective and more efficient. I have an IT background, and I know the company I was just with most lately, they had a huge amount of people doing manual labor. Like they were doing printing, and everyone was doing printing of these documents. And we outsourced that to a print vendor who was able to do it a lot more efficiently. They would print and mail and things. And we were sending thousands and thousands of things every day. So I think there's opportunities for looking again back to what is something that is core to Fullerton, and making sure those things are staffed with people who know this town, who know how to get things done and know where the pain points are, what levers to push and those types of things. And then some other things we can look to get more efficient, where maybe we don't need quite as many people to do those. So I know they recently put in a new software system to help like with some of the managing of permits and things. So looking for those types of opportunities is a way to maintain the coverage, the capabilities that we have as a city, maintain those core personnel, and to some extent, see if there's opportunities. And I don't know what those are yet. And then the second part of your question about affordability for city employees and things to be able to actually live in Fullerton, I would love it if everyone could afford to live in the city. It's a great place to live. I did a little looking last week, I think it was. I think this is up to date. But on average home prices in Orange County, and Fullerton, believe it or not, is one of the more affordable, quote unquote, cities. And out of like about 40 cities in Orange County, we were down like number 29. 28 more expensive than us. But even at 29th place, our median home price was over $1 million. And that's just not affordable, especially for younger people starting out. So I think we need to look at ways to help that out, and maybe some sort of supplement or something for city employees to make it a little easier. I know there's some work going on some of the affordable housing. It's a little behind schedule, and I think we need to push getting those moving a little faster, whether that's for city employees or just generally for folks. So I don't have an answer on affordable housing in Orange County. I mean, it's really, Orange County is running out of space to build, so supply is limited. There are things we can do a little higher density housing where it makes sense, things like making it easier to put an ADU, a mother-in-law unit on the back of your property in some of these older homes that have, you know, large lots. So all of those things will help somewhat, but it's not a Fullerton problem per se, and it's not even an Orange County problem. It's just housing is hard to make affordable. And for certain areas, we probably want to help people. And we also have to see what we can do to increase the supply of housing.
Gotcha. Thank you for explaining. So my next question is about another kind of controversy that has come up in the past few years in city council, and that is mayor rotation. So mayor rotation, and the way it has happened in city council in the past few years, is only one or two people have been taking turns kind of becoming mayor. And it leads to a lot of questions and concerns about lack of representation for certain districts, because they don't get to be mayor, because certain council members have not gotten to be mayor, even though they have served, you know, over a term in city council. So that's something that people are really concerned about. And if and when you're elected, would you change this process? And what are, you know, kind of your general thoughts on it?
So my understanding is, historically, there was an informal process, which was basically whoever hasn't served as mayor yet, who has the longest term in office, pretty much, unless they decline to serve, would get to be mayor for that next term. And when this last time came around, that isn't what happened. And someone with a lot less seniority was pushed up to mayor because they agreed more politically with the, you know, the current mayor and a couple. And I think if you're going to have a process, you should be following it, even if it's an informal process. And regardless of the process, I think you're correct in that all areas of Fullerton should get chance to have sort of that leadership representation beyond just having someone on the council, but having someone help coordinate the council. And going back a little bit to my opening of I don't care if you're Democrat, I don't care if you're Republican, and so on. I think there's, I don't think it's necessarily party lines, but there's certain lines that have been drawn in the city council, and there tends to be an us versus them attitude. And I really hate that. I mean, I don't mind someone disagreeing with me. I expect people to disagree with me. I still remember one time years ago in the business world, me and another guy were in front of our boss arguing over how a project could proceed. And we were just yelling at each other almost. And then right after that, you know, we went down, we got coffee and we talked about different things, you know, how the Rams do. It wasn't personal. It was always about what's better for the city. And I think too much of the current city council is what's better for me and what's better for my political expediency, what's better for my donors, rather than what's best for the city. So I think that processes like the mayor should flow throughout the whole city, unless there's some real concern, not just I disagree with you, but you know, if there's some major issue, maybe you want to bypass someone occasionally. But that wasn't the case here. It was really I like him better than I like him, so I'm going to push him forward. At least that's my understanding. So if I'm in there, again, if we have some sort of process, I will support that. And I will support someone from any of the districts being mayor when they have the seniority to serve and the desire.
Understood. So kind of in the same lane, there is also an issue with ensuring representation on our city's advisory commissions, because one of the council members' direct powers is appointing residents to serve on city commissions. And there has been criticism on how this has currently been done, because people with specific interests or a small group is kind of being, you know, appointed for these city advisory commissions. They are the ones serving. And another criticism is that these positions are not being publicized enough so that people could actually know what they are, what the residents can do on these commissions, and how they can truly make a difference. So first, you know, what is your thought? What are your thoughts on this issue? And How would you ensure representation for our city's advisory commissions if and when elected?
And I think you touched on a couple of things that in your question. I think one of the things we really need to do is publicize when these things are available and what's the responsibility and what types of the ideal types of people we'd like to have in those to get people applying from a broad spectrum. I know my opponent recently appointed one of his major donors to a position on a committee. Now, maybe that person was the best for for that committee. Maybe they're the only ones who applied. I don't know the details of it, but it just doesn't smell right when you're doing things like that. And if you're going to do something like that, I think you need to be very transparent and say, here's why this is that. So I think there's a couple of things. One, having a much more open, publicized process for when you're looking for these people and getting those applications, and then actually going through somehow to be a less subjective manner, to be a little bit more objective, to say who is the best person for this position. And again, not who gave me the most money, not who's gonna, help me get to the next level politically, but what really is the best person for this job to help the city of Fullerton. So high level, more publicity, try to get more applicants, and then an objective look through those applicants to get who's the best person for the job.
Gotcha. So now I want to move to a couple of questions that relate more to our community and how it connects to each other and the effects of COVID. So because of COVID, we really have seen this disconnect in our community and in-person events, in-person interactions in general, any of the council meetings or INRAC or transportation or school board, anything that you really attend, usually and the audience is usually empty, say for two or three people that are there, unless there's something big going on for the, so say for the outliers, we don't have many people attending these meetings. We don't have any people getting involved in general, whether it be in local government events or community events. So if and when you are reelected, how do you plan on connecting back with this local community in meeting with constituents and being available to them? And then the second part to this question is, what advice would you have for people, especially young people who have no idea how local government works, but they wanna get involved? So what would you recommend to them to get started?
Okay, I'll take the second part first for just a couple of seconds, because one, I have to admit, I am new to this whole local government thing myself. And I think one of the ways to get involved is to just go out there and start trying. Now, there's different ways to get involved in leadership. Part of that may be going to city council meetings and things and hearing what people have to say. Part of it is talking to those. But there's also lots of other opportunities to sort of learn leadership skills, whether that if you're in school, government and clubs and taking leadership roles there. If you're in the workforce, talking to your manager or other mentors to see about what are things you can do to gain leadership skills. And then at some point, you just got to push in and start doing it. I mean, I had no desire to run for city council until I heard some of the things that were going on and some of the lack of respect for within the council and things. And so I got talked into saying, yeah, let's go give it a try and let's do it and see what we can do. So as far as getting involved, there's lots of ways to get involved and you really need to just go out and do it. As far as coming back around to how to get more people involved as a city council person, I mean, one of the things I've done as a candidate is I've been out on Facebook and things and sending some emails here and there, but trying to push information out to the public and letting them know I'm going to be here on this day. I'm going to be there that day. here's some things going on in your community. And I think we need to do more of that. Until I started really running for city council and looking at it in more detail, I couldn't have told you what day of the month the city council meetings were on. There was no push out to the community to say, hey, we're talking about this on this day. And I think that's something we need to do a better job as a council, to be more transparent, to let people know what we're doing. I looked at Fred's, you know, Facebook isn't the end of the world, but I'm an old guy. I'm still on Facebook. And he has posted like two things in the last 6 months. I don't know what Fred does on the city council. I have seen nothing from him. I'm in his district and I can't remember hearing anything from Fred except for maybe some robocalls during the last election. So I think that's one of my responsibilities, is to reach out to the public. One of the council persons, I think Shana Charles does a weekly or maybe it's every other week office hours where anyone can come in and talk to her about issues. And I think that's a great idea. So I plan to implement that for myself when I'm elected. But in addition to that, I plan to continuously try to push information out. If nothing else, at least on that Facebook page to say, hey, here's what happened in last night's city council. Here's what we're doing on this. And also try to get people more involved in the whole process of the city, whether that's city government and coming to city council and arguing, or whether that's just going next door and helping that elderly neighbor who needs a light bulb change. So there's lots of things that we can do to bring this community better together. I do, again, want to give a kudos to the city council for bringing back some of the things like first night and the fireworks. I think those types of things are very important to help build community. But it's got to go beyond just events. It also has to go to the day-to-day, just talking to the people. And more important than talking, listening.
Understood. So one of the questions that we ask all of our guests is to give us a book recommendation. So what are you currently reading? What is something you would recommend to our listeners?
Okay. All right. I just have to be... because I am an author. I have one book that's out published on Amazon called Plas War. It's a science fiction sort of Michael Crichton-esque. So I have to recommend my own. But I read a lot. I read, finish on average, at least a book a week. I also do a book review for AmazingStories.com. So books related to science fiction and science. I post a review there every Friday. So if you're just want to get background on all sorts of different books, that would be a way you can get my input. But the title that came to mind as far as a book to recommend was a book I read a few years ago called Scarcity. I'm drawing a blank on the author's names right now. I apologize. But you can find it. Look, searching for Scarcity. One of the things that they found, this was a science psychology-based book. They found that people living in a situation of scarcity, and that could be financial scarcity because they don't have enough money. That could be emotional scarcity because they just don't have connections to their friends and communities. That could be any sort of scarcity. When they take their mind towards whatever that scarcity focus is, it actually reduces their mental ability overall. There was an experiment they did where they took a group of people and they gave them sort of IQ type test questions and got their ratings. And then they took those same people and they said, imagine you have a $1,500 auto repair unexpected that comes up, and just think about that for a little while. And then they sent them through the same sort of questions, IQ type questions they had before. The affluent folks who had more than enough money weren't, they thought about it. They answered the questions. Their scores stayed pretty much exactly the same. The groups who are living on the edge financially, who $1,500 would really cause some issues, just thinking about that as a hypothetical situation, their scores on those IQ type questions came down like 20%. So I think one of the things we need to look at as a government is where are those people that are in a scarcity type situation who don't just need the help to get out of the scarcity, they need help to get far enough out that they can then think clearly to help them get even further. So I highly recommend that book. It was eye-opening to me. And then again, my book, Plastivore, because I want to sell a few more copies.
That's a great self-plug. It's good to know that we have another local author in the fray. So the book that you recommended is Scarcity, Why Having Too Little Means So Much, which is a 2013 publication by a behavioral economist and a psychologist. So certainly I would recommend listeners check that out. So the last question really is, you know, you explained things fairly well. So is there anything that I have not mentioned that you would want to talk about to the listeners?
I think we've covered a lot of stuff. I really just kind of want to reiterate, I'm not in this for personal glory. I'm not trying to step onto a higher office. I really care about this city. I mentioned briefly, my family has over a century of history here in Fullerton. It's a great town. I think there's some issues, and I want to bring people together. Again, I'm sick and tired of us versus them in every section of this society these days. It's fine to disagree, but that doesn't mean we should be disrespectful. We can disagree, and then we can go on and move, agree to disagree on some things, figure out what we can agree on, and move forward with what we can do. So I have a great deal of respect for the people of Fullerton, the residents, the city workers, and even the other folks on the council. And I expect them to have a respect for me and for their people. And I just want to see what we can do to make things overall better in Fullerton. It's a great town, and we can make it even better. So I think that's about all I have to say.
Well, thank you for that. And with that, this interview comes to an end. Thank you so much, Matt, for being with us today. I'm sure the listeners really enjoyed listening from you, especially since you are a new voice in Fullerton politics. So where can listeners find you if they want to know more about you, if they want to learn more about you?
Okay. My website is www.matt4fullerton.com, MATT4fullerton.com. That has some of the basis, high level of my issues and things. There's also a place there where you can donate. I'd love to donate. My campaign is not nearly as well funded as my opponents. Or you can just sign up to help, or you can just put in your name and ask me a question. What I really like to do, if you want more interactive, is my Facebook page is Matt for Full, or search for Matt Truxaw, Truxaw, for Fullerton City Council. And there I post something at least every day, usually a few things. And you can message me, you can ask a question under any of those posts, and I will answer you. Sometimes it might take me a little longer than others, if depending on how much is happening in my life and how much is coming in. But one of the things I will do as a candidate and as the city council person is I will listen and I will answer. And so mattforfullerton.com, and then Matt Truxaw for Fullerton City Council District 1 on Facebook.
Great. Thank you. So that was the Slice of Orange NSC's interview with Matt Truxaw. For more episodes, please check out Slice of Orange North Orange County on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We are also on Facebook and Instagram, so be sure to follow us there. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.